for Life.
Hello and welcome to Virtues for Life. I am Sister Denise, and this program is a conversation between Brahma Kumars and Kumaris about virtues. Virtues are the foundation of our life, and anyone who has a spiritual practice in their lives are going to be contributors to global positive change. The laws of spirituality tell us that personal change is the main way for us to bring about real change in the world. Today, I have with me at Godlywood Studio, Sister Isabel Gautier. Welcome to Virtues for Life. Isabel has a background in business. Isabel is from French Canada, and she is now living in England at the International Center for Brahma Kumaris in London. Isabel is now handling all the international travel, so you can see that even those who are fully dedicated in Brahma Kumaris practice also do special duties to enable the whole show to run. So welcome to the program. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Today, Virtues for Life is going to focus on courage. So, Isabel, can you please give me your definition of courage and tell me how it figures in your life?
Well, after working with women quite a lot, I've been reflecting on courage, because it seems that we're in a position today where we always need to bring change. There's either frustration inside, there's either difficulties inside, anger inside, and we are in a position of change. And courage is a virtue that comes a lot in our conversation. And I've been reading on it as well as reflecting on it, as well as listening to what was said. And courage seems to be a convergence of what the heart is saying with what the spirit is saying.
And well, why do you need courage? What are the obstacles you face?
Well, the obstacles that we face at a spiritual level, I can talk about. The authorities in our lives that are teaching us how we should behave, that be our teachers, our family, our religions, they give us a whole list of right and wrongs, and sometimes it aligns with the spirits, but sometimes it doesn't.
So can you tell me something from your personal life where you have had to actually take a step of courage? Maybe you can describe the story.
Okay, definitely. But just before I do this, I'll just explain a little bit about the alignment of the heart with the spirit, because courage is often seen in a masculine way, which is to do something that is extraordinary, or do something that might be simple, but in a circumstance that are quite difficult. And it's overtly out there. But the act of courage that I feel that we all need to do, not only women, but we all need to do, is where I can listen to what the spirit has to say. And instead of leading a life of feeling, I don't feel right, it doesn't feel right, which is often influenced by those authority.
So tell me about your personal step of courage.
Well, many steps of courage, and I would say I'm on my third one now. being here on the show. No. When I was a little younger, and I was in a family that is quite spiritual. I'm from French Canada, as you said, so Catholic background, but my parents had drifted into all the spiritual paths that were offered by the East, and so already I was not really fitting in my religion from a personal perspective, but my parents also were not. And it was quite difficult to not only not have a solid framework to work with, but also not seeing that there was happiness in their path. And there was maybe a bit more peace, but I felt that they were also drifting from society. And here I was very much in my, you know, youth life, being with people, but not relating to them.
How old were you at that time?
Well, I would say that when it started to really bring question in my mind, I was in my maybe 13, 14, 15.
So really quite young.
Yes. So I was feeling quite alone because my compass for life has always been happiness. If someone is happy, is to look, what are they doing and why are they happy? And I've always felt that it had something to do with what's inside, but also I thought it had something to do with what's happening outside, your relationships and where you live and your education and all of those things.
So what did you have to... What did you have to do that was a step of courage that maybe you went out of the box or something?
Well, I would say yes, but it took a while. I think I almost built a box in all around me before, or a jail all around me before.
A box of what?
Well, of do's and don'ts.
Okay.
Because at school and my friends had certain do's and don'ts, and my parents had completely different do's and don'ts. For example, in Quebec, it's a small community, and to talk about the law of karma was something quite new, but my parents drifting into the Eastern philosophy was something that is always talked about. And it resonated quite true. But how do you apply it? How do you bring it into your life? Anyway, what's happened is that it created a feeling of not fitting, a feeling of being able to be happy on the outside, no problem, friends and success in school, no problem, but inside not feeling quite happy and not being able to see anyone.
Did you feel isolated because of that?
I would say so, because I would say that my understanding of what was the right thing for me as a spirit, as the true self, was not clear. And so what happened is, over the years, and I started after 15, then I went to college, and after college I went to university, and I kept having good marks, and I loved school because I figured out that you could study in a certain way, do it very well in exam, get good results, and feeling happy. You're accepted, you're respected, you get good marks, fantastic. So that was my formula for happiness. But then it went completely wrong when I was in the working place, and then there's no more timeline. You know, you do this for a certain time, you get the exam, and then see what will happen.
So what was it like? Did it take courage to step into the work world?
I would say no, not at that phase. What happens is that I thought I could navigate through, and it's after 3 years in the working world that I had to take my step of courage. Maybe 2 years, but then it took me another half a year or almost a year.
So what was the wall that you were faced with?
Well, that first step of courage was actually wrongly based on saying no.
Uh-huh.
So instead of my bouncing board being, this is what I want, my bouncing board was, this is enough. I can't do this anymore. I don't know who I am. I can't figure it out. I don't like what you're doing. You're asking me to be dishonest. It doesn't fit with me. It was no, 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 no all around. But the step of courage is that I sold everything I had. I got rid of my car, my flat. I gave my furniture to my friends. I said, I'm going. I don't know when I'm coming back. I'm taking a one-way ticket to Spain, and let's see when I come back.
So you went to Spain. Why
yes.
did you go to Spain, and what happened there?
Well, briefly, Spain was just that a friend of college was a teacher in economics, and I respected him a lot. He had studied to become a Jesuit priest, so he had a lot of strong values. And he told me that in Spain, unlike Quebec, had a lot of culture, and people were very warm, and I should visit one day. So I said, okay. So I didn't want to think too much about the where and the what. I knew that I had to get out of my circle of influence, or meaning the things that were influencing me, I would say, to be able to see what I was made of.
So that was a very big step of courage, to step into a totally unknown world, unknown country, and as a young woman all by yourself. So what did you do internally to actually gather together the courage to say, yes, I'm doing this?
Well, I think that gathering the courage was just that I was drifting into being more unhappy than happy. Okay. That was enough. I was spending hours and hours and hours at writing my thoughts to try to clean out my mind and my feelings to try to hear what I had to say. And what happened in Spain is I thought that my father had said, one day when your student is ready, the student is ready, the teacher will come. Mm-hmm. So I thought, I'm so ready. So I went to Spain and I started to travel. I had a budget by day and I was traveling, but I got really bored of that very quickly. And I thought, okay, I'll go back to school because I know how school works and I'll learn the language. In 7 weeks I was fluent in Spanish, which
very
is
very good.
Very close to French.
Very good.
So it's not like learning Hindi, but learning Spanish for someone who speaks French, it's relatively easy. And after I finished that, I said, I cannot wait anymore. Someone had said before I left for Spain, do you know about the pilgrimage of Santiago de Compostela? And I had said no, and they said, you are curious, you'll find out. They said no more. But I knew at that time that I was ready. So I dropped my things, I packed a small bag with the things that I thought I needed, and I hopped on to the pilgrimage of Santiago. And what happened...
And what's that pilgrimage like? How do you do? You walk?
Yes, it's a pilgrimage that's been walked for about 1,000 years. It's very much Christian. But I would say that maybe 20% of the people at the moment are doing it for religious reasons. Mm-hmm. Many people are doing it because their lives are changing. So I met people coming off drugs. I met people that had lost their children. I met people that were going from a working life to a retired life. And for me, it was finding myself. And I would say that you walk as much as you want every day, but there's some place where you can stay, and that often defines how much you're going to walk that day. So I could physically cope with about 25, 30 kilometers a day.
That's good.
Carrying your bag and everything. So carrying my bag, I realized that I'd taken too much, and so I lightened the load. And when I was settled, I came into a place of silence. But that place of silence, I think, is a little bit different than a place of silence that you would go to in meditation. It was as if the body had adapted to walking, and then the mind was blank. I couldn't even think. I was walking with a Frenchman at that time who was almost double my age, and he had just retired. And French people love to talk about anything and everything and argue about anything. So I said, let's give it a try. My mind is blank. Let's see how his mind is. So I said, what's the difference between respect and tolerance? He was blank. He said, ask me the question a little bit later. So I said, what's the difference between respect and tolerance? I couldn't think of anything, and he couldn't think of anything. So it was a place where it's as if the mind is saying, oh, I need a holiday. And then after a few days, then it's as if the silence was a place of, I would say, great creative thinking, but it was coming, I felt, not from being influenced or reacting to my outside world, not even my past. I really felt that it was true creative new thinking. And that was the most blissful moment of the pilgrimage, and it lasted for about a week. And when I came back to Canada, I said, I'm ready to nurture silence in my life, and I asked for meditation. Mm-hmm. And this is when I started meditation.
So meditation for you means what? What does it imply?
It implies very practically to go back constantly to hearing and to be that inner being. That constantly, and I am definitely influenced still by my past and by people around me, but I know that it doesn't lead me to my path. It might drift me into their path or what they want me to do, but it won't bring me happiness because it's not connected with what I do. So meditation is about keep going back to being in the right awareness, the right place, the right seat to lead my life.
And when you meditate now, having now you've been meditating for 14 years, what's your meditation like now?
I would say before it was very much, I'm sitting for meditation. When I was sitting for meditation, that was my time to meditate. And I would prepare and be comfortable and have a point of focus and maybe some music on commentary and allow my mind to go there. But now I would say that I can bring my mind to a place of stillness and allow the being to be heard whenever.
Now, when a person meditates, I'm also a meditator since many years, meditation can take you to places inside your being where you also need courage to face yourself. Can you talk a bit about courage in that respect?
Definitely. I would say that, again, when I was reflecting on courage and presenting courage about connecting the feeling or the heart, cœur for courage, and age apparently in old French means spirit. Mm. And when you lead your life based on feelings, then you may drift anywhere, and you're very much influenced by likes and dislikes, because we like to nurture what we like, then we will drift towards people we like and circumstances we like and so on and so forth. But the spirits become dissatisfied by this. So bringing the spirit to the front, I think, takes a lot of courage, because the feelings sometimes will say, can I really do this? And will I be accepted? And will this be possible? And what I was saying about my first act of courage was based on a no, so my bouncing board was negative. I think that when you go inside and you understand who you are, there's a lot of yes that emerges. I am this. This is possible. Peace is possible. It's possible to change someone's heart by giving them good wishes and giving them pure feelings of love and respect and regard. It is possible to do this. So I understood how to nurture true positivity, a positivity that doesn't divide. To say I'm great will make you feel maybe jealous or maybe start criticizing me. But when I have true positivity, I think the real courage can come, and it's nurturing thoughts that allow for the beauty within to emerge, and the beauty within me will allow for your beauty to emerge.
And did you find any aspect of yourself very deep down that needed the courage to face?
Yes, definitely. And I still have many things to face. It's as if we sometimes get into the bliss of the beauty inside, but there's a whole other part of us which is very much connected with our past. We may have created those stories, those habits in the past, trying to do our best, but in the end...
What did you find in your own self that meant, oh, I have to face this?
Well, I would say it's mainly either the story that I remember or my tendencies that I have. I realize that there are some needs that I have that if I don't take care of them myself, they come into my relationships. So, for example, and the need to be respected, I know is at the seed of me getting angry or upset. I know it's at the seed of me wanting to be loved. I know it's at the basis of a lot of my behaviors in my relationships. And so if I don't learn to develop that true self-respect, I know that all my relationships, my actions, my thinking, what I say is polluted by that.
So courage also, if you look at the other side of it, fears. It's really the fears that drive us, isn't it? Mm. And that we have to have courage to say, okay, whatever this fear is, I'm going to work through it. What strength do you find, or where do you find your strength to actually apply that facing of the fears and removing the fears?
Well, this is the game that, as meditators, I think we're faced almost every day. And what seems to be working for me is stillness, a lot of stillness. When I'm able to really go into silence, I find the stability to be able to face and be able to say to myself, all will be well. And that too will pass, and that too will change.
So that's interesting. You have little phrases that you use. All will be well, this too will pass. How important are these little phrases, do you think, in people's lives?
That's a whole other subject, because I feel that outside, meaning in the world, there's a lot of positive thinking talked about, and I think that probably 50% of the world now receives these positive thoughts in their their inbox every day. I'm sure all my friends receive positive thinking slogans, affirmations in their inbox every day.
Yeah, little PowerPoints.
Everybody.
Does it do any good?
I would say if it comes from outside in, I don't think it's very much a permanent solution. It may be like eating chocolate when you feel down, or having a glass of wine when people feel stressed, or something like that. I don't think it's that much more than that. But all will be well, or these things that I'm saying to myself come from a faith, from a deep understanding that it is true, that my permanent, my original stage is one of positive and beauty, and that whatever I've acquired that is negative and that I don't like, that neediness, is just a sign that I'm weaker, that I'm either polluted, or that I'm just a bit empty.
Now, you mentioned the word faith, which I think is very interesting in connection with courage, because sometimes you may find that your courage becomes rather, you know, it disappears, it melts away. So can you talk about the role of faith in shoring up the courage, or how the courage and faith work together?
Together, yeah. Well, my highest faith, believe it or not, is not in myself. And I never thought I would say that before, because my parents had drifted into Buddhism, so we'd never mentioned the word God.
Mm-hmm.
And I had drifted happily away from God because I didn't know how to relate to Him. However, I would say that my experience and what I'm learning from my relationship with God has been so clear, so pure, and I'm not able to prove it wrong. I'm not able to see any fault in it, that this is my strongest faith. So applying this is allowing me to go through a lot of difficulties.
So when you feel that you are with God, connected with God, this is what gives you courage?
Now, yes. In the past, there was the anger, the frustration, the feeling that it's not right. But now it definitely is a much more positive courage, one that says He knows the spirit much more than I know myself. He knows me as a soul much more than I know myself. And therefore, if I give it a chance, which is not maybe the brave courage that is extrovert, but for me, for example, to be introvert and use silence is an act of courage. When I want to say something and present something, or my arguments or my position, to instead go into introversion, to be inside and make sure that my every feeling and my every thought remains positive, that takes a lot of courage. But He is like this, and this is how He's working, and the work that He has to do is much greater than my little story.
So it's very interesting. The fruits of your courage has been to create a very powerful spiritual surround for yourself. So that's very interesting. Anyway, we're getting a little bit close to the end of our show, and I'd like to thank you very much for coming on the program today. Probably you experienced the accumulation of strength, courage, closeness to God to be very helpful in the work that you do at the Brahmakumari's International Center in London. It must be very much there. So I'd like to ask us all to ponder on the virtue of courage. It's a virtue, it's a power, it's a quality, it's a value also. And just take some silent time, as Isabel was saying, the importance of silence, going deep inside, and trying to gather together that courage, especially when you feel connected with the higher source, the higher power, God, the Supreme Being, being with you, and make that part of your life, your daily life. So thank you, Isabel, very much for being with us today, and thank all of you for participating in this conversation, Virtues for Life. Om Shanti.